This is Generation Swap. While the world talks about a generation gap,
we talk about generational connection. Our guests, we call them swap mates, discuss goals, passions, and values, helping each other figure out life.
Keep listening for more.
Welcome to a special edition of Generation Swap. We're your hosts, Dana Hebriard
and Cindy Camp.
Today we'll be talking to Rick Armbruster of Upcycle Bikes, a new nonprofit here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Suzanne Callahan, an adjunct professor of business administration and an AQ alum, right?
No.
Did I say
AQ
that?
Mom.
An AQ mom, that is true.
Right.
Yeah. So in theory, you got a graduation cap and gown too.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Thanks for joining us, both of you.
Yeah. Thanks, Dana and Cindy. I appreciate you having us.
Yeah. We're really excited to have you here and talk a little bit because you two are doing some unique things together in the class that you're teaching, Suzanne, right? And
yes.
But I want to start right now with Rick and kind of get a sense of who you are. You've had sort of a non-linear career path. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Sure. Definitely non-linear. And I think calling it a career might be giving it a little bit too much credit. But yes, I've had a varied background. So let me see. I was an economics and math major in college and started out working in management consulting for a number of years. And then went back to school and got my MBA. And that's where I met my wife. And things kind of changed from there. Coming out of grad school, I worked for a couple, we'll call them startup organizations. And one started up and one didn't. But I worked for them for a few years in business development and marketing. And from there, we really ended up following my wife's career. We were living in Boston at the time, and we moved to Wisconsin, which is where she's from. When we moved back to Wisconsin, I decided that I really didn't like the business world all that much, and that wasn't for me, and she did, and she was thriving. So I went back, and I got a certificate to be a teacher, and I was a high school math teacher for a few years. But then when we decided to move to Grand Rapids for her career, I took a step back. My kids were young. I had, an almost one-year-old and four-year-old at the time. And I decided that, I'm going to stay at home for a little while. We don't know anybody in Michigan, and, we'll get the kids off on the right foot. Well, a little while became forever, and I was a stay-at-home dad. And I did that for really the whole time they were growing up. But at the same time, for me, it was important to be involved in my community, and I was really passionate about education. Wanted to continue that on some level, so I got involved with our local school district and volunteered in a number of different capacities over the years. Everything from being in the kindergarten classroom to serving on the PTO to eventually doing some special projects at the school district, at the district level, and working on the foundation board. And that's where I met Suzanne. So I did that. And then things changed again when COVID hit. COVID hit, everything came to a grinding halt. And as we were coming out of that, I was thinking about what I wanted to do next. At the same time, my oldest was in college and my youngest could drive. So, woohoo, I had a lot of freedom, right? So I came up with a new idea and we started Upcycle Bikes. We can talk more about that, but I started Upcycle Bikes and now I'm, running a startup organization again.
Yeah. Well, tell us more. Let's just go there. Tell us a little bit more about Upcycle Bikes. I love following social media. And so I've been looking at all the really cool LinkedIn and Instagram posts that you've done. But for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about Upcycle Bikes and how it's kind of integrated also into the class?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for calling us social media cool, because a dirty little secret is before Upcycle Bikes, I never used social media. So this world is all new to me, but it's working out and we've gotten a lot of awareness through that. But anyway, so coming out of COVID, I was thinking about what I wanted to do next. And I hit upon the idea that I would love to just fix up bikes. I love to tinker on things. I love to fix things. I'm a bit of a gearhead about a lot of things. And so I thought it would be great to fix up bikes, but I don't want to sell them. I thought, I wonder if I could give them away. And around the same time, Bethany Christian Services were looking for someone to fix up bikes to support their refugees. Sort of as an aside, last spring, Bethany received over 230 Afghan refugees all at once that they needed to place here in West Michigan. And for them, that was a lot. And so they needed all kinds of resources, right, as you can imagine. But one of those resources was transportation. They had to get from their apartment to their place of work, which was usually only a couple miles. And so they were looking for some bike donations to help with that. But as you can imagine, the bikes that came in weren't always in workable condition. So they were looking for someone to work on them. So I raised my hand and I did that. And I did a bunch of bikes for them last spring and early summer. But it became pretty apparent that the demand was far going to outstrip the supply in my capacity, certainly, to do this. So I was moved by the stories from the Afghan refugees, all the challenges that they went through, the challenges they're currently facing. And I thought, I could create an organization to help scale this up. It would make things easier on Bethany, and I bet you there are other needs in the community as well. And so I just started telling everybody I know. It's like, hey, I've got this idea. What do you think? And everybody was pretty supportive of it and thought it was a great idea. And the more people and organizations that I talked to, it seemed like there really was a need. Now, a bike isn't going to solve all the transportation challenges, but it can help. So anyway, so at the end of August, we formed Upcycle Bikes. And basically what we do is we refurbish used adult bikes and we provide them to partner organizations that are serving people in the community that need an affordable and accessible transportation option. And that can be a bike. So we are collecting bikes, we're fixing up bikes, and then we're donating them back into the community. And right now we're donating them through Bethany Christian Services, through AYA Youth Collective, and we're pretty soon going to drop off some bikes to Guiding Light here in the community. And as we grow, we'll add more partners as well.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun for all of us because we're making an impact in the community and we can see that impact. It's very tangible. But it's also, I mean, all of us that are involved, we're passionate about cycling and getting outside on some level. And so this is really just fun for us to do this too. So we're blending impact and fun at the same time, which is great.
So blending impact and fun, and in so many ways, it connects, which was one of the things that we got excited about at Aquinas, because those Dominican pillars of community and service, it kind of hit many of those. And I know we can talk a little bit about that and how that kind of hits your class. One other thing, though, which I think is kind of unique is, you know, most of us tend to think of entrepreneurs as people who start for-profit, private companies, the money, if you will, but you're a volunteer nonprofit entrepreneur. So how do we stretch that kind of concept of really what an entrepreneur looks like?
That's really interesting. That's an interesting question. You know, our perception of what an entrepreneur is, I think, has really been tainted the last 20, 25 years or so and focused on the tech industry, right? In the internet world. And that's what we view an entrepreneur as, someone who's, you know, making millions and billions of dollars at their startup company with the ping pong table in the break room and so on. But really, I think if you think about it, I mean, people start their own businesses all the time, right? People are coming up with interesting ideas and executing and implementing those ideas all the time. And to me, that's what an entrepreneur is. In the nonprofit world, there seems to be this label or trend, I guess, to label folks like me as social entrepreneurs. I don't know that I particularly love that term. I don't really like to be labeled, but it is something that, I mean, it's clear what a social entrepreneur is, right? Someone that's starting an organization that can impact the community. And, you know, I do think that we can all like really think hard about, you know, what it means to be an entrepreneur. You could be an entrepreneur at all ages. You can be a for-profit, nonprofit. Frankly, I think that even big corporations look for entrepreneur-minded individuals. It's just, do you have an idea that's going to make an impact and can you execute and implement that idea? And to me, that's what an entrepreneur is.
Yeah, that's an interesting definition. And now to think Upcycle Bikes is partnered with a college class. Suzanne, can you tell us about the class and about this concept of experiential learning and how you're getting students to be involved with an organization like Upcycle Bikes?
Sure.
So as Rick mentioned, we've known each other for a long time. We were talking about upcycle bikes, and I think that our conversation started around the idea of I could use an intern. Remember when he mentioned I'm not big into social media? And instead of trying to find, well, I thought, well, there's two paths to finding an intern. One is to work with the AQ Advantage Center for formal interns and the great program we have here. The other way of finding an intern is to perhaps go to 20 or so interns that are in my class. I said, how about if we turn this into a project instead of me trying to find an intern for you, because I think there is a lot to be learned there. Interestingly, with students and kind of tagging on to this entrepreneurship piece, is a lot of times the example students will be abstract or from a big brand or company out there in the world, and will say, well, what could you think of a company locally? And this was a chance for them to think about having an owner's mindset and that entrepreneurial mindset. And I think that applies whether it's a nonprofit, a not-for-profit, or a for-profit business, is having that owner's mentality and meeting Rick and understanding, okay, you're all in, and we are his marketing department and his social media experts and his graphic designers for a couple weeks. So that's been, and you're going to do something that won't be that great, and you'll do something that's outstanding, and you'll get this experience. So that's how it started.
It's such an exciting way to make a college class come alive outside of the classroom. And I'm, from your perspective, Suzanne, why aren't more college classes experiential or sort of project-based, getting out into the community? You know, what are the barriers for doing this? Because you're probably somewhat unique in what you're doing.
So I would say, and I hate to say this because I don't think time is a legitimate barrier, but time tends to be a barrier, and that the time that you're in class or when a client needs something, you know, we're somewhat constrained by the quads or the semesters or whatever setup you have in the or in the university or the colleges, where grades have to be turned in by a certain date, but the project might be done. For example, in this program that we're in right now, Rick will get what we have as of tomorrow, because that will be the end of this particular part of our learning together as a group. So sometimes there's that piece of it, is the time constraints. And then I would say there's also an uncertainty for some instructors or faculty members, that they fear that they're not going to get the content that they think is so important across through some type of an example, because you're not going through a textbook, chapter one, chapter two. We're working on applying this, and there's a little bit of uncertainty, which I think is valuable, but it's uncertainty for both the instructor and the student in the class.
Yeah, and as Aquinas transitions into the four-credit model, where there's more of an emphasis on getting outside of the classroom, how do you see this as kind of leading the way, this class, this project?
I think it's the intentional use of a problem, a project, an opportunity that is motivating, and there could be some impact out there. Then you have to start out right at the outset with the students with some empathy both ways to say, look, we're in this together, we're learning together. And I think a lot of times that's hard for a professor and instructor to not necessarily be the expert on the subject, because I don't personally know the perfect answer to what we could do to help Rick. And that's not necessarily a comfortable place for an instructor to be in a classroom, that you're learning alongside them. So I think that is the place to start. And when you ask the students, would you like to do something that's relevant to you and relevant to an organization, they always say yes. So that makes it easier to start.
And what's your hope in terms of the students' learning outcome? You know, as we talk about it, what would really be your sort of ideal impact that students will walk away from?
So I know Rick is sitting here and he's probably going to say beautiful social media, but that's really not what I'm hoping for. What I'm actually, and because we're good enough friends, I think he's right alongside me with the learning. And that is that the students will understand how to collaborate with each other and work in ambiguity and uncertainty and lots of drafts. There is not draft one and two. Sometimes there's draft eight. So understanding there's going to be a lot of collaboration, communication, and iteration, and two steps forward and one step back, because that's what's going to happen in their real life, whether they are in sales, whether they're engineers, whether they go on into the medical field, whatever their future pursuit is, they're going to be dealing with uncertainty. And they'll look back at the things we've done in this class, and it will be preparing them for that, not just so they can go and design social media posts or something like that.
Well, and that's actually kind of life in general. I mean, you've probably experienced that yourself in the startup. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah,
about it.
Definitely. I mean, first of all, I just, you know, want to thank Suzanne and her class. I'm so appreciative of this opportunity for me and for Upcycle Bikes. It's amazing. And sure, I mean, part of this would be, you know, it would be great to have an end product or deliverable that we can then turn around and quickly use. But as Suzanne mentioned, you know, I'm all about the learning opportunity as well. And that's why this is so exciting for me, is because, as I mentioned before, education is something that I'm very passionate about. And experiential learning in particular is something that I'm very passionate about. And I think it's so meaningful. And so not only will the students learn about marketing and public relations, but I think more importantly, they're going to develop some of the, I don't know, intangibles, or what I'll call soft skills. You know, learning to work under ambiguity is a huge one. Learning to collaborate, work with a deadline, having drafts, having a client. All of those things are really, really important, because that's what happens in the real world, no matter what type of organization or function or career you're pursuing. So I love the fact that these students are getting this type of learning opportunity, because that's meaningful to me. And so I want to be able to share that. So that's wonderful. And you do see that in the startup world, in the corporate world, you know, I think in anything is you have to work under ambiguity. I think in the first class that I attended, there was definitely a little bit of anxiety, I'll say, around the ambiguity. And I felt at times like I wasn't providing the students with everything that they needed. But then I thought about it. It's like, well, that's okay, because that's the learning experience. They have to be able to figure out how to work under that ambiguity and to try to meet the needs of a client. And so that's what we are providing to them. And that's what, you know, you see every day. Yeah.
I think that managing ambiguity is probably one of the hardest things. And I don't know, and this is where, you know, we are called Generation Swap, so, but I don't know if it's a conversation to be had about how generations view ambiguity, or if it's something even that just different personality types, not necessarily a generational thing, but it certainly is something that I've noticed of college students as well, is that sort of, you know, what exactly do I need to do to get an A, I hear, in a classroom? And so to hear you say, it's okay if it's a little gray right now.
It is okay. And that's part of the experience. And I also tend to think of this a little bit in terms of being resourceful and identifying resources, because, and this is something that I didn't learn until much farther in my so-called career, but you know, there's some things in life that we just know and we're comfortable and confident about, and we can leverage those. And there's other things that we know we don't know, and that's where the resourcefulness needs to come in. And that is something that I've really been focused on with Upcycle Bikes, is there's a lot that I don't know. I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I'm not an expert in a lot of things. And so I have to find those resources and expertises to do that. And so doing that is really important. I think the scary part is when you don't know what you don't know, right? And then that's where you need to, you know, you need to have some support, and you need to have some curiosity, and you need to have some of those soft skills, to work under that ambiguity and to figure that out.
And to be gutsy enough to, in your career, you've pivoted several times. And I think, you know, as a man, we wanted to ask you to reflect a little bit on what it means to do unpaid work. Women are more often the ones who take those roles and stay home with family members, but you've chosen to do that as part of your career journey. Yeah. So maybe you'd comment a little bit about
sure.
that.
Well, I think I thought a little bit about this. Unpaid work, though, I think it's a luxury, right? Not everybody can do that. And I've been very fortunate that I've had that luxury to be able to pursue unpaid work in whatever capacity I've done it in. For my wife and I, it just kind of made sense. We were at a point where we were starting to have kids, and she loved her career, was excelling in her career, and I really wasn't loving the direction that I was going in. And so I pivoted to focus more on education, but then it quickly became apparent that, you know, we're a family unit and we need to support each other in the family. And it made sense for me to stay home. That was part of our values, is we wanted a parent to stay home. And unfortunately, you know, not everybody, you know, can do that if they want to. But we were lucky enough to be able to do that. So I never had, you know, it was something that we made a conscious decision on. I never had an issue with it, and I jumped right into it and embraced it. And over the years, I really have never had anybody judge me for that or anything. It's been really easy from that perspective. And I think that, you know, my wife and I made a good team over the years, and it's worked out. So being a stay-at-home dad was rewarding. I don't know if my kids would say it worked out right now, but maybe in a few years they will.
But I think it's become so much more common to see a dad out pushing someone to the park in a stroller in the middle of the afternoon on a weekday, or carrying the, you know, the diaper bag with them. So yeah you're not alone, right? But it's still more common for women to be at home with children. And so it's fun for us because we love to explore career with people and life decisions. And yours is something that's kind of a non-traditional path.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to confidence in everything. You know, whether it's, you know, changing careers from business to teaching to stay-at-home dad to the nonprofit world, or especially to be a stay-at-home parent, is, you know, to have that confidence and to embrace that.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that that's been important for me. And it's worked out well.
I wanted to ask one more question about Upcycle. So you've now, it's almost a year, or it's been a year, or?
We're a little over 6 months. Yeah. No, we're not a year yet.
So we haven't had the year celebration.
No.
But what are some of the needs? Like, what are some of the things that we can do, whether it's through the Aquinas community or a greater community? What are some of the things?
Well, Dana, you know, we're a startup organization. We need everything. We're figuring it out. So it's interesting. What we've discovered is that the supply of used bikes out there is huge. There's so many bikes sitting in garages. And the demand for bikes is huge. We can provide all kinds of bikes. What we need to do is we need to build the organization in the middle. And so we've been sort of flying by the seat of our pants for the first 6 months. But this year, we're really focused on building our capacities and capabilities to be a more structured organization, I guess. So to do that, we are working on building those capabilities. So fundraising is a big one. We need to figure out how to raise funds more thoughtfully in order to support the organization moving forward. We need to develop repeatable processes for acquiring bikes. And we are doing that. I mean, we're developing relationships with community businesses and organizations. I think Aquinas is one of them, to help secure bikes. So that will be great. Developing relationships and getting the word out is so important. But, you know, we're getting there, and we've generated a lot of awareness, and we're developing our capabilities. Actually, just today, this is the first time I'm announcing this, but just today we signed our first lease. And so we are no longer working as mechanics out of our homes. We actually have a location. We will be moving into that in the coming days and weeks, and working collaboratively out of that. And that's going to be a huge game changer for us and allow us to get more volunteers.
Mm-hmm. What you said about the demand for bikes being great, but also the supply being limited. I mean,
no, the supply is great.
Well, but I think for a while during COVID, everybody was riding bikes and it was hard to buy bikes. You know, there was some kind of backlog or supply chain issues. But so as you're saying, probably a lot of people have bikes, just don't use them.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, the COVID definitely did affect the bike industry a lot. certainly new bikes, certainly bike parts, supply chain was a big issue and you couldn't get stuff. That's, from what I understand, mostly worked itself out, except for maybe some of the higher end bikes that we don't deal in. But that did have an impact during COVID on used bikes as well. And I think some people still believe that, yeah, there's a strong market for used bikes out there. That's not really my experience. There are a lot of used bikes out there, a lot. And if you give somebody an opportunity to get rid of that bike and to make an impact at the same time, it's really meaningful to them. I can't tell you how many people said, I've had this bike in my garage for 15 plus years. I'm so excited to give this to you and to make an impact on someone else. If you will come get it and lift it off the hook in my garage, you can have it. You know, and so getting bikes has not been difficult. There are a lot of used bikes. And if you just go on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace, you will see tons and tons of listings for
and
used bikes.
Thinking of the person who receives it, who maybe, you know, is otherwise just relying on walking or taking the bus and now can be mobile and can get themselves to and from a job. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing this and helping people.
Well, it is. And it's really exciting for us, too, because actually we'll take an old bike that maybe wasn't a real high quality bike to begin with. And it will be in a very big state of disrepair. And we'll clean it up and we'll fix it up and we'll put some new parts on it. And at the end, we get really excited about it. Like, this is a good bike. Like, someone's really going to benefit from this and it works well and it's safe. And we're excited to give this to somebody. And then you do give it to somebody and you see the smiles on their face and the gratitude that they have. The handshakes and they go off and ride it and they're really excited. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know, it might be a stretch to say it's life changing, but it does have a huge impact.
I think so. I mean, it does. It changes someone's life to have that independence and that freedom.
They do. Yep. And actually it's funny you say independence and freedom because, this goes back to Suzanne's class. In the class that I attended, she was talking about the four P's of marketing: product, price, placement, promotion. Aren't you impressed?
Yeah.
I haven't taken a marketing class since grad school. That was a long time ago. But I stopped and I said, you guys, what is our product? And they started to say, well, bikes, like you deliver bikes. And somebody said, well, it's a service. You know, you're providing a service to somebody. And I stopped and I said, well, maybe we could think about this a little bit more deeply. I mean, maybe our product is independence and opportunity, and the bike is just a means to achieving that. So what I've started saying now is that bikes are our operation, but independence and opportunity are our product. That's what we're delivering.
Yeah. Just wait till you see what the students come up with.
I can't wait to see. I know.
Because
I can't wait to see what they said.
All we've talked about is opportunity.
Yeah,
you know, so for 8 weeks we've talked about opportunity.
Yeah. I think our listeners will want like a follow-up of what they actually presented.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
So, okay. An Aquinas mom of a soon to be graduate, right? And with your experiences of working and living, you've accumulated a lot of observations about what a meaningful life looks like. So maybe you can share some of your wisdom.
I don't know if it's wisdom, but I have had a few years of experience. I'm actually going to tag on to something that Rick mentioned before when he was talking about curiosity. And I would say that the thing that has energized me in my years and what I look forward to in the coming years is staying curious. I think it's that curiosity that you have when you're little. And then if you can keep that going in the classroom and then just as an adult, that I'm curious as to how we could help the community and all those things. So keeping the curiosity alive and then the connections. I think that the fact that we're all sitting here today, that we have connections through a variety of sources, and I knew right away that Upcycle and Aquinas should be working together and having that connection that we, even if it's not us, well, it is Rick, but even if it isn't the rest of us at this table, helping in the community, making those connections. So I think that I realize the power of connections, and I don't just mean knowing a million people. I think that knowing that there's someone else out there that has your back in some way you can solve a lot of problems in the world. So I feel like it, maybe it's just so simple. Just having connections, that's what I've learned is important.
And staying curious.
And staying curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Staying curious is so important. And, you know, I will say of all the people I know, Suzanne is one of the more curious people, you know, and I'm so impressed with that. And my wife is the same way. I mean, she's very intellectually curious and I really respect that. I think that those traits are so, so important throughout life. So, and I would also just ask, add confidence and not confidence in an arrogant way. But being confident in who you are as an individual and knowing what you can do and what you can accomplish and going out and going after that, I think is so important.
Well, we want to thank both of you for being here today. Before we wrap up, any final thoughts?
I have one. Aquinas is going to be a partner with Upcycle Bikes. So there will be some set drop-off times at Aquinas College, but on an ongoing basis, if anybody ever wants to donate a bike to Upcycle, they could go to Upcycle or they could just reach out to AQ Bikes at Aquinas and they will make sure the connection happens.
That would be wonderful. I really appreciate that and appreciate everything that Aquinas is doing for us and the connections. Establishing connections in the community has been one of the most fun parts of building Upcycle Bikes is because I've been able to develop relationships like this with Aquinas and other organizations. And knowing that you guys do have my back and you do have our back, and we're going to do this together and we're going to make an impact together. And that's what's meaningful. So thank you for having us.
Well, we're delighted. Suzanne Callahan, Adjunct Professor of Business Administration at Aquinas College, and Rick Armbruster of Upcycle Bikes.
Generation Swap is a production of the Aquinas College Advantage Center. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts or at generationswap.com. Our career and connections expert is Dr. Dana Hebriard. Our producer is John Griffin, and our social media coordinator is Alexandra Stephenson. I'm Cindy Camp, Generation Swap creator. Thank you for spending time with us today. We're looking forward to swapping stories with you again soon.